Well, I spent pretty much most of the day. I hope you didn't hear that. Most of the day trying to. did you hear that come in? You did?
Yes.
It just means we're on. It just means we're on. Yeah, I got to work with my settings.
It's like, is this thing on? Hello?
Yeah, check. Anyway, my point is, let's try it again. I spend most of the day trying to figure out how am I going to introduce this show. And I'll do it by saying this. Happy Thanksgiving, right, for one, to all of our friends south of the border like yourself, John. And this is North South. And John and I go back a long time. For those that have seen us on, just a little bit, seen us on different platforms other than this one. Listen to us as well on platforms. We have done pretty much everything. But we've always wanted to do this kind of idea of a North-South show and have a U.S. perspective, a Canadian perspective, and just our perspectives. And here we are. So off we go again. How are things?
I know.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I know that
Now that we got all the technical gaffes out of the way.
Well, I know. And, you know, just in time for a triple header in you know, the NFL, and we know the National Hockey League season is off and running, and I'm still waiting for my Los Angeles Kings to have their fade that will cause what hair I have left to go gray come playoff time. But that's, you know, it's months down the line. But the young kids doing well so far in the National Hockey League season with a new broadcast partner here in the United States. It's an interesting watch there. We got college football down here, and we got the CFL up there, and I know that Forge FC is making some noise, and CF Montreal won the Canadian championship, so they're now in the CONCACAF Champions League. So basically for the next half hour, it's you and I trading barbs over the U.S.-Canada border, so that's how this works.
Are we allowed to cross yet? Have they? Oh,
yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think we can. I mean, I remember when you had the two-week quarantines when you're coming from south to north, and you've got to make sure that you're in a location where you're locked in and you're ordering your food and you can't go outside and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that the quarantine exists anymore.
No,
but
I'm just kidding. It doesn't.
I know, but it's been a long 18 months, partner, but it's good to be back with you.
Yeah. Good to be back with you, my friend. I don't even know where to begin. So the whole idea is we'll just take a bunch of different topics, not just of the day, but also the weeks and the days leading up to everything, and just kind of go into it. You mentioned the NFL and Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I was doing some research. You know that. I always do my research.
Yeah. For a show that traditionally has a rundown that you throw away.
Just wait. Yeah. Okay. So how about we do that too? So John and I, again, have done a number of different shows over the years on different platforms. And even before this one, I sent him a list of, hey, here's some ideas that I want to talk about. And then about an hour and a half after that, 2 hours, I thought, what am I doing? Because we never go into anything I talk about and list, like, you just throw it right out the window, right? Uh-huh. Which is what we do.
Basically.
But anyway, I was doing some research, John, on the Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
And I've had tons of memories of Thanksgiving Day football, even in Canada. One of the great memories is one of my favorite players, Barry Sanders. Mm-hmm. I just think the guy never spiked the ball. Did you know that?
No. And have you seen, I don't know if you've
seen the commercial
south of the border. Yeah. With the, where you're playing spike.
He almost did.
Yeah. Where you're playing spike ball. And there's the moment where Sanders is looking and it's like, and he just hands it to the official and walks off.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, no, that's perfect.
He retired when he wanted to, right? And he's one of those athletes that went out on his own terms. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to at the time. I think one of the greatest in the top five for sure running backs of all time. The athleticism, how quick he is, and how low he was too. I know I'm getting off on Sanders, but how low his body is to the ground and how much he was able to maintain his balance and his speed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so one of the biggest things again, there we go, part two. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things again about Thanksgiving Day for me was watching him play and the Detroit Lions play. And I didn't know this, but the Lions have played at home every Thanksgiving, John, since 1934.
Yeah, and if you want to call what the Lions are currently doing playing, then yeah, sure, they have played on Thanksgiving since 1934. It has been one of the stalwarts of the viewing habits of folks here in the States. That is always the first game. You had the 12:30 game where it was Lions and Bears.
Yeah.
And that was always the hook. And then after that, you know, you'd sit there and you'd go and you know, then you'd have your Thanksgiving meal, but then other networks got involved. And then they're like, yo, well, we want to get involved in this. Because it used to be just CBS would have the early right. game, and it would be, here's the game, here's the deal, and that's it.
Yeah.
And now it has evolved with the TV partners, and then the third TV partner comes into play. And so this year, Lions and Bears, it is Cowboys and Raiders, and yeah. it is Bills and Saints. And the interesting aspect of it here in the United States, if I'm not mistaken, is that the third game is going to be strictly on a streaming service. It's going to be on Peacock. Yeah. It will not be on NBC. Yeah. So it's intriguing to see how the Thanksgiving holiday has evolved from where it was to just have that one game at noon or one game at 12:30, where it's now a triple header and you're seeing all the other partners getting involved in the interesting matchups. I'll give you another, I'll give you another memory when it comes to the Bears and the Lions. David Williams with the kickoff return as the first play in overtime and runs that back for a score. That was all one of the other memories that I have.
And didn't they tie the game before that? Did they? Right. And then they won it on they walked it off.
Yeah. So you get the opening kick in overtime, run back for a score, ball game. Yeah. See you later. Go on to the next one.
Yeah. Off we go. I was looking at some of the Green Bay's played a lot of times on Turkey Day.
Yeah.
And no team. Dallas has a winning record on Thanksgiving, in case people just care about this stuff, 31-21-1.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit's played the most. They played, do the math quickly, 81 times, right? 34 to whatever, 20-21, 81 times. Then Chicago is a winning record, and Green Bay is dead even at 14-14-2. I think it's great for the NFL. And not only that, but in Canada, we have the Canadian Football League, and we know the biggest difference between the CFL and the NFL. Well, there's a bunch of them, but one of the biggest ones is they're so driven by selling tickets in the CFL.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you don't have the TV contracts, you don't have all the hype, as much as we want it to be hyped up in Canada. It can't be as much because it's just not at that level yet. I still think the NFL should do the three downs. I really do.
Okay.
You think that'd be more exciting?
You're certifiably insane, but okay.
No, but why? But why? You're guaranteed when you do three downs, you're guaranteed if you don't go to that third down, say third and five, if you kick it, guaranteed two passing plays.
What you have suggested in the last 45 seconds is the Leon Lett fumble.
Yes.
Of Thanksgiving when it comes to Football League TV ideas. I think that what you're doing is the fabric of the CFL is what it is. And it's three downs and it's different timed warnings and it's 97 points scored after the 3-minute warning in the fourth quarter because of all the possessions that happen and the clock stopping and all that stuff.
Makes it fun.
I just think that what you're doing is you're pulling away from the fabric of what you've grown up with. I mean, you're talking about systemic and seismic change if you were to do something like that down here when it comes to the National Football League. Yeah. You're used to now three games on Thanksgiving Day. You're used to four downs. You're used to 10 yards. I mean, are you going to propose that they just go ahead and widen the end zones out now? Are you going to propose
too? No, baby steps. No, I'm not. I think, and I've always felt, the CFL, very exciting. NFL is as well.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I thought, man, you know, the just kind of grinds. It's a slow game.
You can blame the TV partners for that because of
fair
the commercial time.
Fair enough. Yeah, it kind of goes back to when you and I were on another platform about the whole idea of going to the penalty shootout in soccer, how I don't like that. And so for those that don't, okay, hold on a second. It's the first time we do this. Don't roll the ice. We're only 10 minutes in.
Ha.
For those that don't know, I have a real issue with any sport being decided in the shootout. And soccer specifically is, for me, I just don't like it. It's not a one-on-one game. So my proposal to John months ago when we chatted about this, and if people want to, chime in on Twitter, then go ahead about this. And at the bottom, it's to take one player off every 5 or 10 minutes, maybe, hold on, just before you just think it's nuts. And you've heard this already, so stop. Take one player off every 5 minutes, and then you'll be done probably when you're at 5-on-5 or 6-on-6, something like that, because the space will be opened up, just like they do in the NHL. You went from overtime, now it's 3-on-3. I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know if you know, John, the percentage of NHL games being done after overtime now, as opposed to ones going to a shootout like they would have before if it was 4-on-4 and maybe 5-on-5. But I'm just saying, soccer is a beautiful game. Let's keep it going and let's not decide that in a shootout. Anyway.
Well, but you're getting into
I'm changing everything.
You're getting into the health. Okay, so our executive producer, Commander Joseph Pasek, says 72% is your number.
Okay, so that is of games that are finished in overtime.
Yeah.
Okay, in the NHL.
And so, you know, but the thing is that, I mean, honestly, what I would do is I would, a lot of times, I would skip straight to shootout instead of going the extra 30 minutes. I would go from 90 minutes, go straight to shootout if we're talking soccer.
No, I see.
Because what you're doing at that point is you're sitting there and it's like, okay, we're going to take these tremendous athletes. We're going to have them play another 30 minutes when they're already gassed.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go to a shootout, which could, you know, completely and totally just crap all over everything. Right. Where instead you still have the athletes that are there right there at the peak of their game and still, you know, not huffing and puffing and ready to hover over a garbage can, but they're ready to go. You still have them at their peak. And I think that if you went from 90 minutes straight to shootout, I think that you could have situations like that where I think it would fit better.
But soccer players are the most athletic humans.
True. But if you've run eight miles in 90 minutes,
run one more.
All right.
I don't have to do it.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're deferring to others. It's like, no, you run, pal. I'll watch you do it. You run. You go right ahead. That's like the scene in Ghostbusters when Gozer the Gozerian pops up and everybody is in. Yep. You know, Dan Aykroyd's like, right behind you, Ray.
Yeah. And it's all for my viewing pleasure. It's all for my all selfishness.
About, it's all yeah. about. It's all about Ryan. No, it's all about Ryan.
You know this. Ryan. It's never about, you know that. It's not about true. Ryan. Anyway, this is North Ryan. South, and we're off and running. It seems like we've done this for 2 years, 10 years. We have, pretty much.
It's all about Ryan. Just in different. It's his show, all about Ryan.
No, it's not. can we talk about the, I think we're on the same page with this one. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah.
The Riley Tufte situation that happened recently with the Dallas Stars.
Go for it. Go for it to let everybody know what's going on. So
I have a real issue with it. I really do. Okay. So essentially just summing up what could be a long story. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who has been dreaming to play in the NHL, and it's somebody who has been longing to play for the Stars. Somebody who at the age of 11, if I'm not mistaken, had diabetes and he was in hospital and he's watching hockey and watching the team saying, that is my goal. So Rick Bowness, the head coach of Dallas, gets in touch with him, calls him up, says, okay, you know what? You're going to be playing the next day, fourth line minutes. Let's go. This kid went to buy tickets for friends, for family, and he never ended up playing the game.
Yeah.
He was a healthy scratch. Then he was a healthy scratch. I believe that was Thursday.
Yeah.
Then he was a healthy scratch on the weekend. And no one's going to tell me. Rick Bowness cannot convince me in any way, shape, or form that that was the right thing to do. I was reading about the stories with him saying, oh, well, you know, someone got sick and then they were fine. So I told him, you may play, you may not. And then he also said, well, I didn't tell the guy to go and get tickets for his family friends. It doesn't matter to me, Rick. You're not in top spot in your division. This isn't game 81 going to game 82 that Riley Tufte can't play, because if he doesn't play, or if he does play, maybe that's not the move that's going to get us 2 points to get us into the playoffs. I thought it was ridiculous. And for somebody to have the chance to be playing in the NHL, to fulfill his dream, even for 5 minutes on the fourth line in a meaningless game, I got a problem with it. John.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, makes no sense. I mean, you're going to try to convince me otherwise that was the right thing to do?
No, I think, you know, and if Riley Tufte was a, you know, a 10-year vet and something like that, I mean, it would almost get to the point to where I'd give Rick Bowness a bill. I'd say, it's like, you know, here, you know, this is what it cost me.
Here's what I paid.
Yeah, here's what I paid. You want to pay me back? You want to reimburse me?
Yeah.
Or, you know, if I'm Riley Tufte, what I also do is I write it off on my taxes. That's what I do. Because
how about this? Mm-hmm. You put a star beside that.
Absolutely.
And see, I thought that worked
absolutely. Well. Yeah. And you know, maybe green with a little, you know, it's a gold star with some green or black trim around it.
It's all about us. But no, it's all about us.
But that's the thing. It's like if your superior says something that's like, okay, hey, be prepared for this, and then he pulls it away from you, then that's an opportunity denied first and foremost. And how embarrassed are you, A, with your family? It's here's from our friends at Defector. I went to Bennett's Chop House last night with my family. My parents were driving, took a little detour, drove by Children's Hospital there. I remember when I was 11, sitting in the hospital bed, getting diagnosed with diabetes there. I think 2 days later when I was in the hospital, somebody walked in, can't remember who it was. It was a pack of Wild tickets to a suite. I remember sitting in the stands thinking how cool it was. I was a big hockey player missing out at my hometown tournament, Brainerd, Minnesota. I got to go to the Wild game. I thought that was super cool. It's just a little flashback. Now here I am today, always dreaming in that hospital bed, playing in the National Hockey League when I got diagnosed with diabetes. Super cool. I just wanted to bring that up. And so he has a super cool moment in his hometown. He's told that he's going to play fourth line minutes. He's going to be on that bench, and you're going to excel, where it is a pageant. You know, it is let's play hockey. It is all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Riley Tufte grows up in this environment and gets absolutely stoned by Rick Bonus in this case. And I know that Rick Bonus can say whatever he wants to say, that Riley Tufte misheard, misinterpreted, what have you.
No.
But honestly, there are two people who know what went down in that conversation. There are two people who know what went down. One's Rick Bonus, and his job is to win hockey games. The other's Riley Tufte. And he had a moment where, you know, you thought that you were going to have a special moment at home. And then on the flip side, it gets yanked out from underneath you. So of those two people, one of those two people knows what really happened. And with whatever happened in this case, if the person who is in the wrong here, whomever it is, the person's in the wrong here can live with themselves with whatever, whether it's the decision that was made or the action that was taking leading up to a decision and a misunderstanding, whoever the individual is in this situation, I hope they can live with themselves with the aftermath of all of this, because you're an example. If you're Riley Tufte, you're an example to others for fighting diabetes and becoming a professional hockey player. For Rick Bonus, you're supposed to be an example of a superior. Of someone who understands what it means to win hockey games, win, you know, chase after championships, that kind of stuff, be a role model for others who could be rubbed off like a Riley Tufte in the future. So whoever's in the wrong here, and I know that, and like I said, I'm playing devil's advocate in this particular case. We're in agreement in the case in and of itself, but looking at both sides of this, one person is wrong here. That person knows who they are. I hope they can live with what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. All he wanted to do was play in Minnesota, and that was his goal. And then I was reading, too, just a bit about Bonus and how he was going back and forth about guys not feeling well on the team and COVID and all that stuff. Tyler Seguin, I think in the morning skate, if I'm not mistaken, Thursday morning, he came off the morning skate, and he was sniffling. He had all symptoms of, you know, nothing's a cold anymore. Your first thing you think about is cold. Well, you have to have that. But the point is, he had symptoms. He played 17:55 that night. Rupe Hintz, same kind of thing. He didn't feel well. He played that night. Now, I know there was a positive test and a false one. Then he came back with two negatives. That's fine. But the point is that we still have this thing called COVID happening.
Yeah.
So if Tyler Seguin's not feeling very good, if he is exhibiting symptoms, even if he doesn't test positive, just sit him. And how great of a story would that have been? That Riley Tufte would have taken the place of Tyler Seguin. I'm just saying, I know they're at different skill level. I get it. But that would have increased the story for me to make it an even better one. But it didn't end up being that way. So, Rick Bonus, you're in the wrong here. You really are, in my book. So.
And like, legitimately, you know, you look at all of this, and we understand Rick Bonus, what his job is. And what does this say to the locker room?
We're not even 20 games in, John.
I know, but what does this say to your locker room if you're Rick Bonus, if you treat one of your younger players like Riley Tufte, like he apparently has? What does that say to your locker room? What do the players who are teammates of Riley Tufte think about their coach in this dynamic now, even, you know, we're not even to the quarter pole of the season, and you have a moment like this, what am I supposed to think about my head coach in this yep. situation?
I've heard that there is dissension inside the room concerning Rick Bonus, their head coach, and this was before the whole Tufty thing happened. So a lot of the Dallas Stars were or are not on the same page as him. So I'm not saying that he's going to be fired at any time soon, but this to me is not a good look, and it certainly wasn't a good look.
Well, and Ben Hankinson on Twitter, when all of this came to pass, Ben Hankinson said that basically Tufty was wiping out his entire salary of getting called up to the National Hockey League to get these tickets so everybody could come see him. Nick Bjugstad helped him out with his. But like I said, I'm either writing this off or I'm sending, you know, Rick, I'm, you know, photocopying everything and showing mm-hmm. Rick Bonus. It's like, dude, you know, it's like, dude, this is what I invested here. Understand.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to baseball. Do you have an interest in the Hall of Fame? Do you have an interest in
Do you have an interest in
Bonds and Schilling and A-Rod and all the would-be
Let's put it this way. I have an interest in the Hall of Fame, but I do not have an interest in some of the individuals who are chasing after the Hall of Fame. Let's put it that way.
Okay, Bonds, one.
Yeah, whatever.
Schilling, Clemens.
Well, since Curt Schilling has decided that he wants no interest in the Hall of Fame, then, all right, fine. Then just nobody.
That was the easy way out.
It's just like, well, I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah,
you know, you're waiting for something like that. It's like, okay, fine, dude. If you're not interested, great. You're on the ballot. They can't remove you. So then fine. If you're a voter, don't vote for him. Then that's the easiest way out. Then it goes to the Veterans Committee, and then it fizzles.
You have Schilling. You have to get 75% of the ballots to get in.
Yes.
Schilling, what, 10th year on the ballot. Bonds, 10th year on the ballot, 61.8% in 2021.
Yeah.
Clemens, 61.6, 10th year on the ballot, et cetera.
Yeah.
Look, I think we talked about this probably at some other point as well. If you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
you go into the Hall of Fame and say you're a kid, and you want to see who's hit the most home runs in the history of Major League Baseball.
I go straight to the Hank Aaron display.
Right? That's what you do. Oh, sorry. The guy who hit the most home run, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Because supposedly he did some things that he shouldn't have done, and he had some things helping him to make him do the things that he ended up doing.
Yeah.
But it's wrong. I mean, it feels, the optics of it are bad. I'm kind of back and forth with, I was more back and forth with the whole Bonds thing years ago. Cause I watched them. I remember the chase with McGuire Sosa McGuire in 98, but then I remember the 2001, whatever it was, and Bonds took off and he was hitting 65 and 70 and all the way up to 73. And I was admiring this guy, John. I'm sure you were as well. And I thought, okay, how can you not admire him back then?
All right. So well,
before all the steroids.
But that's the thing that gets me in all of this. I would maintain that Barry Bonds, pre-steroid era Barry Bonds, and the escalation of his home run numbers, I would maintain that Barry Bonds as a Pittsburgh Pirate, before he started doing...
What you're going to say.
I think he's a Hall of Famer that way.
Right. I thought you were going to say that he would have been, or... Mm-hmm. Looking back at it now, one of the greatest to play the game, best all around to play the game.
Yeah. And for me, that's, you know, that to me is, it's like, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. We didn't see any of this with Ken Griffey Jr.
No.
Imagine if Ken Griffey Jr. had been healthy, what we would have seen from Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Imagine what we would have seen if Barry Bonds did not do what he doesn't want to talk about. Think about that individual. I still think he would have been a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I think that Roger Clemens would have been a Hall of Famer even before his second act and everything that went into that. You look at Curt Schilling, and I think that with what Curt Schilling did in Boston and Arizona, straight up as a baseball player, I think he would have been in consideration for it, especially with the legend of the Sox and all of that stuff and being a part of those franchises. I still think that they would have been, if not in consideration, in the Hall for who they were naturally.
Yep.
And that, to me, is the larger element in all of this. Full disclosure, story time with John.
Yep.
I was working in local affiliate television during Sosa McGuire.
Mm-hmm.
When Mark McGuire hit the home run that broke the record, yeah. I missed it.
You missed it.
I was in the bathroom at the television station that I was working at the time. I was on a pit stop.
He couldn't have waited for it.
No, I was in a pit. I was in a pit stop, and it was announced by our chief news editor. I am in a pit stop.
Yeah.
And our lead news editor announces over the PA in the station, John Nelson has missed Mark McGuire's home run because he's in the bathroom. No lie. That is a straight up story. Straight up. That is what happened. The entire television station knew that as the EP for sports for the affiliate that I was working at the time, I missed Mark McGuire's home run because I was, I think it was 10-100. So, you know, for me, you couldn't help but be cynical. I know we all got caught up in the chase with Sosa and McGuire, yeah. but after that, the more information we got, how Mark McGuire goes from 6'5", 210 to 6'5", 250.
Yeah.
And then you start asking questions.
And it's pure muscle.
Yeah. Right. And so you take it and you go from there, and then you go to the next stage with Bonds, and then you have Roger Clemens, who's doing amazing things as a pitcher in his late 30s, early 40s, and you're going, you know, man, gee, he's doing a great training regimen to get back in his second act here when pitchers really aren't supposed to be doing what they're doing. Now, I had a natural cynicism. I guess that's the journalist in me anyway.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, if you don't want to, then you don't have to. And I know that, you know, after X number of years, then you're not going to be eligible for it. So there it is. And, you know, whatever. You know, just I can't get wrapped up in give me folks like a Ken Griffey Jr. as opposed to a Clemens or a Bonds. Yep. Yep. All over the place.
Let me read this. I'm going to read all the first timers on the 2022 Hall of Fame ballot.
Sure.
But let me read off four.
Yeah.
Ryan Howard, David Ortiz.
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez, Justin Morneau. Any of those four get in? Out of the four, does anyone in my book, I mean, as much as I don't want to, you have to put Alex Rodriguez at the top of that.
I have the same
I don't want to.
Concerns that I have with Clemens and Bonds.
Of course.
And Clemens and Bonds. And I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah.
I just can't. When you have a renaissance like you have, I can't do it.
I know. I can't do it.
Speaking
of money, did you see this? And again, we'll end the show soon, but it's been a lot of fun.
We're coming. See, we blew past the CFL timing of it all. We're now down to 2-minute warning.
Right. See, that's true. Yeah, we'll get that next time. I get how Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, NFL, you hand out these massive contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I think in recent years, the contracts that are given out in the NBA are absolutely ludicrous. Now, would we say no to them? No, not at all. This baseball one for me leaves me scratching a bit. So Wander Franco of Tampa Bay, the guy's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's signing a deal, which is for $185 million guaranteed, could go to $223 million.
Sure.
Have you proven anything beyond a few good numbers?
What you're trying to do? You're trying to lock a guy in.
But come on, John.
You don't know who you have after one year. No, you don't.
But in his case,
yeah.
Well, in some cases you do, I think. But in his case, with all due respect, I don't think you do.
Well, but that's
it's like Tampa Bay. They don't have the money to do that, do they?
Once again, don't be surprised. One, you're probably looking at a couple of other things. You're looking at the possibility of relocation. You're looking at the possibility
Montreal.
Of that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. You're also looking at the notion of a media contract with Major League Baseball that you're trying to sit there and say, okay, there might be some more money coming in. Or if you sign him, what's to say in a year or two or three, that if you can't do it, you put him out on the open market and sit there and go, we're done. You know, anybody want him, we'll trade. I mean, I get it. Literally, I think you're locking him into a number so you can flip the asset at a later time.
You're 20. I mean, heck, good for him. That's great. But you hit 288, seven home runs in 70 games. You played 70 games, and now you sign a contract for 185 guaranteed?
Lock the man 12 in. 12 years? Lock the man in now while you can. They did the same thing with Evan Longoria.
Yeah, I know. Okay, quick picks with Thanksgiving games. Chicago, sure. Detroit. Who do you have?
Mutually assured destruction. Detroit. Chicago's a minus 167 with our American Thanksgiving juice box purveyors. So let's see. If you want me to put something on Chicago at minus 167, I'll go with the green bean casserole on the Bears to win that one.
All right. I'm going to go with Dallas in a romp. I think Dak's going to light it up.
I'll go with the macaroni and cheese on Dallas over the Vegas Raiders.
Okay. Hey, there's a food theme to this. Bills Saints.
I mean, the Bills are a minus 245. So I just, you know, do the Bills turn it around? You know, that's the big question. So let's see. If I was to take something out of the American Thanksgiving palette and put it on the Bills, slightly confident, so I guess it has to be something that I like but don't necessarily go to a great deal. So maybe the apple pie, because I'm more of a lemon meringue pie, key lime pie guy for Thanksgiving.
What about gravy?
Gravy, you know, our EP Joseph Pasek, the commander, he's like, he's throwing gravy into the deal. But gravy for me, I would put gravy on Dallas.
Okay.
Gravy for me would be a Dallas thing. I can't put gravy necessarily because, and it's an all-purpose, so I would probably end up putting it, you know, like I said, I'd go gravy on Dallas and something that's kind of there because I think that New Orleans covers. I think Buffalo wins, but I think New Orleans covers.
It's turning into a betting show.
Well, I mean, people want to know these kinds of things.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I've got to go, you know, maybe, wow.
How about a tie? Let's have a tie on Thanksgiving, or
the Jell-O fruit cocktail. There we go.
Yeah.
The Jell-O fruit cocktail on Buffalo to win in New Orleans.
Okay, good stuff. With that in mind, it's a good time to go because I'm absolutely hungry. Happy Thanksgiving,
brother. Happy Thanksgiving.
Great stuff. First edition, North South. He's John. I'm Ryan. It's all about us. It's not all about me.
It is all about Ryan here on the Fired Up Network. And once again, remember, it's all about Ryan on the Fired Up Network. Yeah. And so the ways to get in touch with us right there, 181 platforms. You can reach out to us on Twitter and all of the other ways to reach out to us. So so it's all about Ryan. So you go ahead and send us home.
See ya.